Have you ever thought of yourself to be above certain motives? And does motive really matter when you build in the kingdom? Let's talk about that today in the Word. Good morning and welcome back to Today in the Word. Hi, I'm Glenn Schaefer. Thank you for joining us as we walk through 1 Corinthians. We are addressing chapter 3. We're going to be in verse 10 through 15, talking about our motive. Well, let me tell you right up front, the scripture makes it very clear that we can't even really know our own motive, but we can continuously submit it to the Lord as one who judges. How do I know that? Because Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he said, even if my own conscience says that I'm innocent, that doesn't mean that I'm innocent, for only the Lord judges. Now that's true in this life, of course, and in the life to come. That means we're totally dependent upon God. We have to always be sensitive to the Holy Spirit revealing things to us. Now I know in my own life, God has worked deeply in me and continues to, really over pride and over arrogance. And it is a constant walk with Him. And I know it has to do a lot with motive, how God reveals to us our motive. Now, when I say that, it's not that God can't reveal things to you in your motive. It's just that you're not the ultimate judge. That means I can't sit here and tell you that I have correct motives. That in and of itself could be full of pride. So let's go into this with humility and let's walk through these verses. Begin reading here with me in verse 10. And I want to read down through a couple of verses here and then talk about it. Verse 10. Says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now let me stop here for just a moment. Paul is saying, according to the grace given to me. Now we discover in this book that Paul is referencing his apostolic calling, his apostolic grace. And God had given him this grace or God's ability in God's favor to be what he called a wise master builder. That Greek word architekton means where we get the word architect. And it simply means building with a plan as a superintendent. Now he is saying that he, as a wise master builder, by the grace, not because of him, but by the grace of God, was laying the foundation. Now what is that foundation? We know very clearly the foundation is none other than Jesus Christ. He is that foundation. Now I know that God uses these gifts. That's what Paul's going to show, that all of these gifts belong to the church, that you can't divide over it. And you can't say, I'm of Cephas and I'm of Paul or I'm of Apollos, because then that would be keeping those gifts from the rest of the church. And we're going to see as Paul goes through this, laying out why that's very important, that Christ remains the head of the church. Now, I know there's a verse of scripture over in Ephesians chapter 2 that says in verse 19 and 20, consequently, talking about the church, you are no longer foreigners or strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also the members of His household, built on the foundation of apostles and prophets with Jesus Christ Himself as the chief cornerstone. Now, He's not saying here that the apostles and prophets are the foundation. Notice what it says, that the church is built upon the foundation of. So that what is the foundation of? The foundation of true apostles and prophets is none other than Jesus Christ Himself. That there's no other foundation than Jesus Christ. So what Paul is saying is that we should take heed on how we build and not lay some other kind of foundation, because there is no other foundation than Jesus Christ. Now in this passage where it says that these gifts of apostles and prophets are given to lay the foundation, it's really talking about, I believe, two thoughts. Number one, I believe we're referencing the Old Testament prophets and New Testament apostles, which would bring forth the revelation of the church and Christ being the chief cornerstone. Now, I cannot disregard that apostles and prophets are effective and are present today. Now, as we get later, as we go through these teachings, we're going to make more distinctions about the apostles and that function today and prophets that function today, as opposed to that which was the Old Testament and even that which was of the original 12 or the calling that Paul had. I believe there's a distinction in that. Nevertheless, we're going to explore these as we go through and discover that these gifts continue in the church even today. In fact, the scripture tells us that they must continue. You can't have pastors and teachers, evangelists without apostles and prophets. And I know the resistance from different ones, and we're going to walk through some of this as we go through to try to bring these things into perspective. But what he's saying here is the foundation of those gifts is none other than Jesus Christ himself. They have the revelatory calling of the grace of God to lay the foundations of Christ. Now, I use the word revelatory because Paul referenced that in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. He says, in reading this, talking about what he's writing to the church at Ephesus, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the people in other generations, as it is now being revealed by the Spirit to the holy apostles and prophets. So there, which was a revelation of Christ, which is the Jew and Gentile, in the same body, the new creation, the one new man, not separate. He said that is a revelation that was not known in earlier generations, but now is being made known by these holy apostles and prophets. So that's revealing that. The teachers would teach about it. The pastors would shepherd the sheep. But these two gifts given to the church. Now, Paul references that, I believe, when he says, I'm a wise master builder. And how he's laying this foundation, which was none other than Jesus Christ. Then he goes on into dealing with the motive of workers. Verse 12, he says, now if anyone builds on this foundation, now what foundation is that? It's Jesus Christ. So that means that the foundation of the gospel of Christ is laid. But the motives of how we build off of that can be distorted. So let's read this again. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw. Now, notice he identifies precious stones and gold and silver, and we would assume that's correct godly motive because that remains precious stones, that foundational work, and that gold and silver can be tried by fire, and it remains. But we know what happens with wood, hay, and straw. It's burned up quickly because he's going to reference fire here that it will be tested. It will be tried. And that which remains is that which is real. And so that would be a precious stone that would be gold or silver. The other would be as a result of wrong motives, building wrongly upon the foundation of Christ. Now he says here, each one's work will become clear. For the day will reveal it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Now, immediately we think of the end of time and judgment on the day of the Lord. In fact, here in the New King James Version, the word day is capitalized. Now, that's not true in the King James, nor would we have any reason to think that from the Greek, that it is the day of the Lord. But let's just assume that it is. Both can be true. Here's what I see. It is true that at the end of our life, our work will be tested. And that's what he's saying, be tested with fire. It can also mean that life now and fire now and can test the work. I've watched that happen in my own life where my motives were out of place and great difficulties came. And accusations came, and judgments came, and I was under testing. So it was testing my motives, and that which was real remained, and that which was faulty was burned up, and that was good. So I believe that could even happen in this life. I think many people have labored in the kingdom of God with wrong motives, selfish ambition, exalting themselves, building their own ministry, promoting themselves, and in the day of testing, it all falls apart. Now that person is saved like someone escaping from fire. So we're not talking about being saved or not being saved. We're not talking about having eternal life or not having eternal life. We're talking about believers who labor in the kingdom with wrong motives, which is about them. God will not allow any other glory to go to any other person than himself or anyone else. He is the center. It's all about his glory. And then when if I say something like that, your life is about the glory of God, that's not too exciting for you in the flesh, but in the spirit, it's life itself. It's motivation itself. And so getting our minds transformed from this earthly concept that this is all about me, all about my purpose, all about my name being known, all about my ministry. I'm going to build my ministry. And I remember those days. I remember praying, oh God, what are you going to do in my ministry? What are you going to do? You know, and we prophesy that sometimes over people. We don't, but I'm saying it has been in the church. Your name is going to be a household word. God's going to use you all over the nations. Well, watch how we prophesy that, because God doesn't want our names to be a household word. His name is to be the household word. He's not interested in building your ministry. He's building his church through his kingdom. And he uses all these various gifts to build up on the foundation of Christ himself. Jesus is that foundation. And Paul is addressing these things because the motive of the church was divided through, I'm of Paul, I'm of Paulus, and we're building better than you are. And that's really so easy to get into our heart today. I think we need to be confident in what we do and healthy in what we do, but prideful in what we do, we have to be very careful that we don't divide ourselves off from others by our own exaltation. He said, it will be tried by fire. Each one's work. So this is not just for some. This is not only for those televangelists. This is not only for those whom you see as pastors and leaders. Of course, it obviously applies to all of us, but it says each one. So each one who works in the kingdom of God, their motives will be tested. I believe both in this life and in the life to come. If anyone's work, which he has built on, it endures, he will receive a reward. I believe the reward is all that we have to look forward to other than our salvation and everything that's in Christ. In other words, we're not being rewarded of salvation. The reward comes as our faithfulness in the midst of salvation. Salvation is given to us by grace. It's given to us by Christ. By grace are you saved through faith. So that's settled. But there is a reward of faithfulness of your motive of how you labored before the Lord, and it will be tested. So this is a time in our life when we ought to submit our motives to the Lord, not trying to be navel gazers and introspective all the time, but being sensitive to the Holy Spirit when you pray and when you seek Him and when you work and labor. Lord, am I honoring you, or am I bringing this after myself? It's a constant submission to the Lord. Because that's where you will receive your reward if it remains. And what will remain is what's built upon the foundation of Christ with the motive of his glory. Because if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. What loss will he suffer? He will suffer the loss of all that he thought he built. Anything that man builds can come down in a moment. It won't matter through eternity. But that which is labored in the kingdom will go on forever for his glory, and Christ will be seen. And we will not be seen, but Christ himself will reward us for his glory. It says, if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. It's like a man running through, escaping out of a house that's on fire. Everything he owns is burned up. He himself is saved, but everything else is lost. That's a picture of us laboring with the wrong heart and motive. I just sense the dealings of God even in myself as I'm praying, as I'm speaking this. I'm just sensing the dealings of God in our heart, in my heart, even as I'm talking about this. Can I pray over it? Father, may our life be reflection of your glory. Speak to us, Holy Spirit, what we need to hear and see about our labor. A pride, exaltation, that in the end, when it is tested, for it will be tested, that the reward will be given, but you will get all the glory. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Wow. Thank you for joining me today in the Word.